Thank you, Pastor Ben. He's got a big week ahead. Pray for this guy and his team. Absolutely. You know, I just got new contacts, and I can see. I can see so well. I can see everybody on that back row. I am not kidding. But I can't read a thing. So I need glasses. Yes. So the next two Sundays are going to be fantastic. Once a year, we do a kids' Sunday, and that's next Sunday. So make sure to be here and support the kids' ministries and just really just have a great family time here next Sunday. Pastor Ben's going to be bringing the word and kind of steering the service. So that's going to be great. The week after that, I believe it's the 25th is a wild guess. That is going to be Perry Atkinson from The Dove. He's going to come and share with us. So that'll be in 2 weeks, 2 weeks. So next week will be Kids Sunday, and the week after that will be Perry Atkinson as a special guest. And I'm excited to have Perry come. He's definitely a friend of our church. He has spoken here numerous times, and we love him. So, hey, why don't you pray with me real quick? Lord, we just want to ask that you would take the word, Lord God, and bring it not just to our minds, but, Lord, to our hearts, because that's where the real change comes. And so, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us individually and speak to us as a church. And so, Lord, we want to open up our hearts to you right now from the word of God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said. Now someone's copying me doing this lately. They think it's really funny because I say, and everybody said. But you know, would it be me if I didn't say that? So thank you. Thank you very much. And everybody said. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Okay, we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 3. I'm excited about this. This is our last fire and water message. And this is certainly a fire message, and we're going to be breaking down Moses' call from God. And so we're going to go through 1 through about 16 or so. And so some of this will be on the screen, some of it will not. And so if you want to look it up as we go, then we would love that. I believe I'm reading from the English Standard Version. So here we go. This is Exodus 3, verse 1. It says this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now I believe we have a picture of this. Yes, we do. Looks like a lovely place, wouldn't you say? Yes, lots of green. It is a black and white picture, but trust me, there's no green. This is a desolate wasteland, okay? And now you might wonder, why in the world was Moses bringing his sheep to the far side of the wilderness? Well, I may have an answer for you. Because it's not really a place that a shepherd would naturally take his flock for grazing, there could be this reason. That is, it's possible that it was part of a trade agreement. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. But on the other side of this wilderness, there was this mining that would go on, and they needed food, okay? And it's very possible that this was like a trade thing. So he was on his way across the desert to deliver these sheep. Could be. Something to think about. Doesn't have a whole lot to do with what I'm going to say today, but I thought it was an interesting fact. Because I've always wondered that. Why was he over there in the first place? Okay. So verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Now, I thought a lot about it, this statement. Tried to put myself in Moses' position. I'm not a shepherd, and I've never lived in the desert. But I would imagine he has seen fire before. And I would think in a land so desolate, now there may be a season change. I haven't seen any pictures that looked any different. Okay? So it's not like it's going to spread. So for a bush to be on fire and not burn itself up would be highly unusual. Okay? And then I'm sure he was just staring at it and staring at it and going, this is bizarre. Why doesn't this burn up? And verse 4 says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Now, verse 5, we're going to put on the screen, and it says, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Now, I want you to look at this interaction with God and Moses from this standpoint. Moses had never had any kind of introduction to God. So God is revealing himself to Moses. And one of the first things he says is that he is holy. And this is actually the first time that God references himself as being holy in the Old Testament. Okay? So this means that God is perfect. It means he's pure, and he needs to be regarded as such. So he needs to be regarded as holy and respected as holy. So this is a big reason why he has Moses take his sandals off. Okay, verse 6. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So again, God is introducing himself to Moses. Now, I want you guys to realize this. When we think of people in the Bible, we think that they're something special. Any study of the Word of God makes you quickly realize all these people had imperfections. Now, Moses was no better than you. He was no better than me. He's just a man. I will say this, and it's something to think about, that he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. You might think, well, that's a bold statement. Well, if you look at Numbers 12:3, it says, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. So that's what the Bible says. And if you're looking to do great things for God, remember this. Moses became a friend of God. And remember this attribute of his, that he was humble. Okay? And now that doesn't mean that you're going to be extremely passive. That just means that your attitude is humility in this life. And Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. So Moses is afraid to look at God, we read, and well, he should be, because God is perfect and we're not. But then God says something to help Moses know that God is aware of all that goes on and all that Moses has encountered in his life. God is aware of it all. Verse 7 says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, lots of ites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Okay, so God is speaking to Moses right where he lives. When he fled Egypt, he was trying to help the Hebrews be freed from their Egyptian slave masters. Remember that? He killed one of the Egyptians who was beating a Hebrew slave. He was afraid and in danger of being killed by Pharaoh. So at around 40 years of age, he was 40, okay? That's when he fled to the land of Midian and he became a shepherd. So he has now been in Midian for 40 years. So 40 before he got there, now 40 there. That's a long time, okay? Two-thirds of his life are over when God speaks to him. So, you know, God is telling him, hey, the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, okay? And Moses has this background. He fled because of this, all right? So when God says this, I'm sure Moses is like, you know, he's in great fear of the Lord, but at the same time, he's like, fantastic. God, you're going to free the Hebrew slaves. This is great. You're going to come down and smite the Egyptians. This is great. Maybe you'll blind them all. Maybe you'll change all their hearts. This is great. I'm so excited. I'm sure that's how he looked at it. But then God says something else next. He says, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, if you could put yourself in Moses' shoes, he's been in the wilderness for 40 years. He's a shepherd. And I'm sure he's just like, what? I don't think I heard you right, God. I'm not sure. I don't know you very well, so I must not have heard you right. But we know that Moses next says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Which is the same question I would have asked. Why me? Okay? I mean, I'm just a dude tending sheep. I've been out here 40 years. I'm getting to be a little older. I got my retirement all set up. I got Jethro's sheep. I got a good life going here. And I'm kind of thinking about retirement. You know, I kind of put myself in his shoes again because if you think about it, he lived 120 years. I don't know. Let's say I live, 85, 90 years, whatever it is. But I could kind of look at Moses at this stage of his life as about how old I am. Because, you know, lived a lot of life. You know, you're not thinking that this, that God's going to ask you, certainly not to free a nation. But you can imagine Moses' mindset. He has been 80 years on this earth, and now God is choosing him to do something that he can't even fathom. Okay. But God knows Moses so well. Verse 12, I'm going to read verse 12 through 15. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name generation to generation. So what is that name? The name is what we commonly pronounce as Yahweh. This is the name. Now, there are several interpretations of that name, and they are similar. As the Lord has said here, I am is what it can be interpreted. It's also interpreted as he that is, or he who makes that which has been made. They're all kind of similar. So this great I am is speaking to Moses, a shepherd. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt like this in your life. Most of us have at some point. But ask the question, why would God care about me? And I'm sure Moses is asking the same question. Why me? Why are you asking me to do this? Why do you even care about me, this incredible creator that's scaring me. I'm frightened. And you're talking to me. God cared about Moses, and God cares about you. Now, I want to give you four things this morning to learn from this incredible happening at the burning bush. I'm going to kind of settle in on number one, and I'll take the others a little bit quicker. The first one is this, is that God knows everything about you. Do you think you've hidden something? Do you think God doesn't know? No, he knows everything about you. We're going to look at Exodus 3:4 that we read, where it says, "When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush." He called him by name, Moses. Moses, and Moses said, "Here I am." God knew Moses. He called him by name. Now, there are many instances in the Bible where God declares that he knows each one of us. And he knows each one of us intimately. And one of my favorite portions of scripture is something I'm going to read to you. And it's Psalm 139. It's so personal. Now, this is from David. Okay, so this is David, the shepherd, the king. And as we know, David can be just a wonderful writer, you know, the sweet psalmist. And I love this. So I'm going to read quite a bit of this. I'm going to read through verse 16. So stay with me and just really listen to what these words are in regard to what God thinks of you. Okay? "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me by night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." I love this. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Two more verses. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. Oh, you could, such an incredible, multiple messages are within that scripture. He knows it all. So what does God knowing me intimately do for me? What does it do? Listen, God knows all about you, even the hidden things that nobody else knows. And maybe something has come to mind when I've said this. Hidden things nobody else knows. God knows it all. And this was maybe the most astounding thing that still affects me today, is that God still loves you despite everything you've thought, everything you've done. He still loves you. And I have a couple of wonderful verses to show on the screen. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. And the second one is Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God knew Moses, and God loved Moses. Later in Exodus 33, God speaks even more personally to him. Exodus 33, 17, it says this. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Now that's personal. I love that. Okay, let's go to number two. God wants to reveal himself to you in a way that you can understand. Exodus 3, 6. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So I've shared a story for too many of you. Excuse me if it's one too many times, but we do have a lot of newer people here. And I'm just going to share this briefly, not all the details. But shortly after I was saved, just a few days, I don't remember how many days, I was praying with a few friends of mine. This whole prayer thing was fantastic. I mean, I'd never prayed like this before. I didn't know that, you know, before I got saved a few days earlier, I definitely had a life change that morning. And so prayer was like a new thing. Like I knew God was really there. Like God was really listening. So that just made everything different. And so for some weird reason, I don't know why, we used to turn out the lights. Don't know why. And we would sit on the floor, me and a few friends of mine. And I was sitting there cross-legged, just praying and worshiping this God that I had just met. And God shared a very personal thing with me. I have never had an experience like this since. And for me, this was when I was, if you want to call it being baptized in the Holy Spirit, from this moment forward, I was changed, absolutely changed, and wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. And there was this hand, I could just see this hand like this, and it went down through the top of the ceiling as I was sitting there, went down through the top of my head, went down into my, just the innermost being. That's about the only way I can describe it. It just shook everything up around inside me, and I knew this was God, and I was literally, I had this sense of being cleaned up, and it just caused me just to weep so hard. And then in the middle of this weeping, God shows me this picture, and it's the Father, the Son, and I guess from your standpoint, it'd be the Holy Spirit if you're doing this in the Catholic Church. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He showed me this vision of that because that's what I was raised in. That's what I knew. And God knew that's what I knew. And he showed me that and he said, I'm the God you've heard about your whole life. And it was so clear to me. This is, I heard it right. I just didn't know it. I just didn't know it. And the reason I tell you that story is because really this is the same thing that he's doing with Moses. I am the God that you've heard about your whole life, really, because he says, your father believed in me, and you have heard about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses knew these things. And since God knows all about you, he knows all your experiences and what will speak to you, okay? He will speak to you in that way, a way that you can understand, and maybe nobody else can understand it. Have you ever had God share something with you, maybe through the word, maybe that still small voice? If you've never heard God whisper anything to you, that's okay. Just keep seeking him and reading his word. Most often he'll speak to you in his word, through his word. But have you ever had him speak something specifically to you? You tried to share it with someone else, and they look at you with like a blank stare like, wow, that's really neat. And it means everything to you. And you're like, no, you don't get it. You know, and you try to explain it again, and it's still the same. It's because God speaks to you with your experiences, with your thoughts. And he knows it all. And so he's going to speak to you in that way. Number three, God has a plan for your life. Now, Exodus 3, 7 through 10. For time's sake, I'm going to kind of skip down a little bit. If you guys can show the scripture there, that'd be great. Yes. So this is where that what I've already read to you, where God is sharing with Moses that he's seen all the suffering. He knows that Moses knows the suffering, and he's sharing all this with him, and he's saying that he's going to do something about it. And he says, now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, okay? Now, like I said before, you may not be going to help save a nation, but God is always about saving people, and he wants you to be a part of his plans. It may not be something huge like that, but it's going to always be about people, okay? His plan for your life is going to be about people. And I can remember a time in my life, because I'm a natural introvert. I've learned a whole lot of social skills over the years, but I'm a natural introvert. And when that realization hit me, because I had been being drawn to full-time ministry, and then suddenly it hit me, if you do this, this is going to be all about people. And you're going to need to talk with people every day and about them and what's going on in their lives. And that scared me. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that. Well, God will help you just like he helped me, okay? God has a plan for your life, and it has to do with people. And Ephesians 2:10, a familiar scripture to many of you, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God knows everything, okay? And he's got a plan for you. He knows what his purposes are for your life. And you might think, well, I don't know God's plan for my life. Listen, you're not going to know everything. Nobody is. You're not going to know everything. As a matter of fact, you may know very little, okay? But God wants you to trust him for the next thing. And when you seek him, you will find him. And the word of God has many things to tell you about God's purposes for your life. God didn't tell Moses everything that was going to happen. Can you imagine if God would have told him everything that was going to happen? You think he would have done it? Probably not. And it's a good thing God hasn't told you everything that's going to happen in your life, because you probably wouldn't want to do it either on some of the things. Now, there's also the highs, yes, but some of the things in life are very difficult. God will share very little with you, I have found. And he wants to teach us to trust him. Another thing I want to say about this is that he may let you know something that is coming up, okay? You might have a sense of something that is from the Lord, okay? Okay, he may give you a direction, but again, he won't tell you a whole lot. He does give direction. I have just found in my life that God very rarely gives much detail. I've had a few what I would call visions in my life, which just means this is something that God wants me to work toward. And so I've seen some of these come to pass. And I will tell you, when God first called me into ministry, it was when I was sitting in my car and I was reading my Bible, and not driving, by the way. I was sitting there and I was reading through that portion of scripture where Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he's asked him three times, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And as I kept reading this, it was becoming internalized. And Jesus shares with Peter what's something that's going to happen in his life. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to walk with others, for some are lost. It was as simple as that. I want you to walk with others because some are lost. I sat there going, okay, that's all I got. But as time went on and I continued to serve the Lord, then I began to minister to people. And it wasn't so much in, okay, I'm meeting with you one-on-one. That did happen sometimes. But it became with who I was. See, this goes back to that, with who you are. See, God is going to work with you with how he made you, how he designed you. So how God designed me is, part of it is music. I've been a music guy. Some of you are like that. I've been a music guy since I can ever remember having Tinker Toys and pounding on the box, you know. I can remember that. And I can remember doing that to music. And so God knows that. And so he didn't say, oh, I'm going to have you be a choir director, which I became. I'm going to have you lead worship teams and big musicals and involve 100 people and all of this. He didn't say anything like that. He just said this little thing. I want you to walk with people because some are lost. And so as time went on, I did that. Is that as I would do these things, I wouldn't be thinking about, okay, Roger, what's in this for you? I'd be thinking, okay, I got these people working with me. How can I best get them to move forward in their lives all together? And then as we would go through these projects, as worship teams would go week to week, I still do it to this day, and others do it too, but it's walking with people as they go through life. And God has had me do that in the way that I think. In the way, and he'll do that with you in the way that you think, in the way that you're creative, just how he's designed you. So you don't have to worry about it. You might have something very small that you feel like God might have given you. Just keep serving. Keep serving. And I want to tell you this. I think I had this at the end, but I'm going to say it now anyway. I have found that as I serve the Lord and going through tough stuff sometimes, and some of you are going through it now, you don't always feel God. I wish it was different, but you don't. And sometimes you do, but a lot of times you don't. But in the rearview mirror in life, oftentimes you'll see that God was with you all the time, that God was with you every step of the way. Number four, God will not have you go it alone. He will be with you. That's what I just said. Exodus 3:12, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So God will give you confirmations and assurances when he's doing something that takes risk. And I have found that in the day-to-day things of life, it's not. Now, you may be different. For me, just day-to-day things that might seem a lot today, there's not all these confirmations as you go. But in big things in life and in things where you're going to take a real risk, God will give you confirmation as you go, as you walk it out. When he moved me from Oregon to California to get married, he gave me confirmations. When I went from California back to Oregon, leaving an excellent job, leaving everything, having two little small kids, going to nothing, where I had no job, no nothing, God gave me confirmations for that. That was a big risk in my life, a big risk. And actually going from Albany down to Medford, and changing churches was a big risk. It's been a wonderful risk, but it's been something that God gave confirmations about, and he'll do that for you. But just because something's risky, it doesn't mean it's God, just so you know, okay? So really seek him. And just because something feels right Doesn't mean it's God either. And boy, I could really talk a long time about this because I have seen so many people through my years of ministry go by their feelings. Well, and even that verbiage tends to bother me. I just feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. So I just want to ask that question. What do you mean by that? Do you mean that God has spoken to you, or you just feel that because of other circumstances? Keep seeking God. Keep seeking God. Keep walking. You just can't base your life on feelings. I could go on and on. I think I'm going to do a message on that because it's such a powerful principle. You can't live your Christian life on feelings. And feelings are great. Feelings are what God has given us, for sure. And oftentimes when God moves upon us, maybe in worship, or we really appreciate who God is, that kind of thing, that can bring wonderful feelings, and that's great. Feelings are great, but you just can't base your life on feelings. Can you say amen to that? Okay, all right. Good, you're still with me. I'm just about done. Don't worry. If you want to serve God, he will eventually ask you to do something that is uncomfortable for you. He will. But don't worry. We just read the scripture. He was with Moses. He promised to be with him, and he'll be with you. You just need to seek him and trust that he is with you. All right, so I'm going to say one more thing, a little story. I thought, well, I'll give a recent story. Remember last year we did Light Fest. So many of you were a part of that, where we did the big Christmas thing out here. What a huge project. When I first, I ran across it in a book, and it just spoke to me. And I thought, you know, we could do this. Our church could do this. We do everything with excellence. I know the people we've got. We can do this. But we're going to have to come together, and it's a great thing for our church to focus on. It'll be a blessing to the community. It's going to be great. I got a few weeks into this thing, and all of a sudden I realize, whoa, I'm not sure about this. This was a huge project. Fortunately, I had a bunch of you help out incredibly. Tons of time, tons of thought, tons of talent. Val Coleman took a big chunk of it. So many people. And then when I asked the church to come out, so many of you did. I was so excited that day when you all came out to help set everything up. But I got to tell you, that was a risk. That was a big risk because it was going to cost a lot of money. I wasn't sure where that money was going to come from. And in the end, I am just amazed. And by the way, we're going to do it again this year. We're going to do it again. Yes, yes. Let's hear some clapping. Thank you. Gives me encouragement. It's going to be great. I don't think we'll have to do quite as much work, I hope, because a lot of it's been made already, but there's a few areas that we need to replace. Anyway, I'm not going to get off on Light Fest, but it is coming. It is coming. But it was a big risk, but God was there. And oftentimes I have found that through trusting in him and taking those next steps of faith, that I'll see God oftentimes in that rear view mirror, as I talked about. You'll see that he was with you all along. If I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. And so these four things that I have mentioned, I'm just going to put them up on the screen. God knows everything about you. He really does, and that's an awesome thing. The reason it's an awesome thing is because he still loves you no matter what you've done and no matter what you've thought. He still loves you. I don't get it, but it's the truth. God wants to reveal himself to you in a way that you can understand. That's true too. He'll speak to you as he's designed you and created you. God has a plan for your life, but he's not going to show you everything. But he will show you a little. Okay? He will show you a little. if you keep seeking him. Because it's a great life that we live. It's a great life that we live. I'm just going to trust this is the Spirit of the Lord. I didn't plan on saying this. Some of you have been struggling with depression and have had suicidal thoughts. I'm sorry to go there, but I sense the Spirit. There's a great life for you to live. There is. No matter what has happened in your life, no matter what has happened recently, there's a wonderful life for you to live through Christ, through God. It's wonderful, and there's a lot of joy in your to come in your life through Christ. Through Christ. God has a plan for you. And he will not have you go it alone. He will be with you. So keep your head up. Keep your head up. And seek the Lord. And make sure to talk to somebody. I'd like us all to pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all you showed us and how you called Moses. Oftentimes we think a little bit about the supernatural things like the burning bush or the staff that was in his hand that came alive or putting his hand in his cloak and it became leprous. And so these crazy miracles, but it spoke so much more than that. And that you are a personal God and you have a plan for our life. And Lord, do want to pray for anybody in this place that is struggling. And Lord, you know who they are. And just want to pray hope and light from Christ. Hope and light from Christ. And a release of that burden. A release of that weight. And in the things that we don't understand, you bring trust through your word. Through the Bible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, we have one last song for you today. I hope that the Lord spoke to you about some things today. I do feel like that the Spirit laid this on me several weeks ago. And so I am fully trusting that he does the work. So we're going to sing one more song. So why don't you guys stand?